President Biden is heading into another week of trying to sell his infrastructure and Build Back Better agenda to the American people and to some members of his own party in Congress. Joining me to break down the status of the talks and more are Amy Walter of the Cook Political Report with Amy Walter and Tamara Keith of NPR. Hello to both of you. It's time for Politics Monday. Amy and Tam, welcome back. So, Tam, let's start with where we think we are. I see you wincing already. We heard Lisa reporting earlier the they're back at it. And by the way, there's just been a report, I think, from CNN that Senator Sanders and Senator Manchin met today. They said afterwards to reporters they're going to keep meeting, keep talking. But at this point, how worried should President Biden be?
And I think you've asked that question maybe 3 weeks in a row.
Sorry about that. So sorry.
No, but I think that there is, from outside, certainly a perception that there's just not a lot of movement. And, you know, Senator Sanders complained that there's so much focus on the fight and not enough focus on the content and what's in the legislation. But part of the problem is that the fight is about what's going to be in the legislation. And they simply haven't agreed yet on what will be in it. So will childcare be for everyone? Will paid family leave be for everyone? Will universal pre-K be truly universal? Will senior citizens get their Medicare expanded to cover dentures and eyeglasses? We don't know yet. They don't know. Or if they do know, they haven't told us.
Yeah, they don't know.
It's and so, Amy, I mean, I feel like I'm asking this question every Monday.
I'm sorry.
Tam just pointed out that I've been asking this question every Monday. But, you know, some people might say, well, it's just that drama that they go through. But is that really
what it is? No, it is a drama. I mean, I think I feel like I said this before, but it's important to say this every time. What the Biden administration is attempting to do with this humongous package, trillions of dollars, we've never seen anything like this, passed through a Senate that is 50-50, and where the Speaker of the House, Democratic Speaker of the House, has three votes. We are talking about threading the eye of the needle, and that has never been done before. So it is should not be
massive
surprising.
Package,
massive patchings with very small majorities. So every other one of these packages we've talked about in the past, big reconciliation bills, big packages that only one party was supporting, there were more members that the party trying to push it forward could afford to lose, 30 or 40 House members, maybe a senator or two. This is zero room for error. The other challenge I think that what I am seeing now, too, is for all the focus that is on this legislation, when you talk to some Democratic voters, especially younger voters of color, their frustration is not what's going to happen in this bill. It's, well, we voted in 2020 because we were told this was going to matter. This was an existential threat. The Republicans, Donald Trump, we were going to pass Democrats. We're going to pass voting rights legislation. Right. We were going to tackle police reform. We were going to tackle immigration. All of those issues that were central to so many of those voters coming and turning out for Biden in 2020 and for Democrats in 2018, and they haven't seen any progress on that. And so this is, I think, the other challenge that the Biden administration is having, which is they want to get this passed, but for many, even Democratic voters, while they don't dislike this package, they have priorities that raise higher than what they're seeing at
high expectations. Yeah. And even though the package, we keep hearing it's not going to be $3.5 trillion,
right,
it's going to be $1.5.
That's still a lot of
trillion. A trillion and a half.
Yeah.
Tam, meantime, I mean, Amy mentions what Democratic voter. You've been out on the road in the last several days talking to voters, including Republicans who are finding some success in trying to, shall we say, stir up local communities around some of the issues that they believe can work to their benefit in these coming up midterm elections.
Right. I was in Ohio, and stirred up is exactly what has happened in many of these communities, particularly focused around school boards, where school board meetings have become raucous. They have become places of protest, in essence. And police have had to be there. They've been shut down, had to go virtual because people showed up without masks. And it is something that we're also seeing in the Virginia governor's race. We're seeing around the country an effort by Republicans really to stoke the base, to get their base excited. Now, the question is, could they also win over suburban voters who strayed from the Republican Party when Donald Trump was on the ballot, but now he's not on the ballot? It's not clear that they're actually going to succeed at doing that. Certainly, some of the voters I spoke to in Ohio were just like frustrated and angry and did not want their town to be the center of a polarized fight, and they certainly didn't want their school board to be caught up in what amounts to another one of these culture wars.
So Amy, you're looking at polling a lot, you've obviously watched American politics for a couple of years. are these the kinds of things that have legs? I mean, could this end up something, doing damage to the Democrats?
Well, I think that Tam's right. That is, as an issue that energizes the Republican base is really important, and there's not something right now on the other side energizing Democrats, which is why you're seeing in Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, the Democratic candidate, is talking about Trump pretty much nonstop. And I went and I looked at the ad spending, the amount of money that he spent thus far on advertising to voters in the state, and he spent about $3 million on ads that include the word Trump. So about a third of his ad budget is going just to say, my Republican opponent equals Donald Trump. They want to nationalize a race in a state that is as Democratic as Virginia. And if you're a Republican, you want to localize it as much as you possibly can.
Trump was in the state last week.
He called into the state. Okay. So, but
he had
was
a rally.
He had a presence, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tam, I mean, coming back to these, to what Democrats are trying, I mean, how do they counter something like what you saw in Ohio?
It's not clear yet. There is a question of whether there might be a backlash to some of the fighting that's happening at school boards where Democrats could end up galvanizing voters to protect their school boards. But it's not clear that that's happening either. In the case of Terry McAuliffe, who is running for governor as a Democrat again, in Virginia, he is basically begging Congress to pass this infrastructure package that we've been talking about to try to get Democratic voters excited or engaged.
But Trump is the one. That's the answer to every question you're asking about. What do Democrats do? What's the counterbalance? They have two. One is Trump will get our base excited. But as I said, then they'd say passing this big bill, giving our voters and swing voters a tool, like basically saying, look, we've gotten this list of accomplishments done, but is that enough if on the other side of it, we're still not doing well economically, people are still feeling anxious.
Going back to what you described a minute ago, Democrats saying, wait a minute, what have you
done
about immigration?
And then what else on these other things?
Voting rights. And it's not that these issues haven't come up and aren't being looked at and worked on, but we're not seeing progress.
In part because you can't pass this week. There will be a vote on voting rights bill. It will not succeed because Democrats were unable to get enough Republicans to go along with this. Now, that's how it works. Those are the rules. But if you are a voter and you say, I voted to give Democrats power, and they're not using it, that feels very frustrating.
And the same thing with police reform.
Correct.
There were efforts, month after month. Gun control.
Any number of issues.
So Democrats at this point looking, Tam, for something. Maybe it's called infrastructure.
That's right.
Build back better.
That's right.
Right. And independent voters are still frustrated with the polarization.
Right.
And that was another one of President Biden's campaign promises, that he could somehow repair America. Well, if he can pass a bipartisan infrastructure bill, that might go a way to soothing some of the concerns. But certainly polarization is very present.
We will see. Lisa Desjardins was reporting on it earlier. Maybe not in October. We'll see about November, December.
December.
Holidays.
Yeah, sounds right. Yeah.
Amy Walter, Tamara Keith, thank you both.
You're welcome.